We also have an anonymous author who goes under the name of Xenophon, the continuer of Thucydides. And Xenophon lived from 427 to 355 BC. And this work was written sometime during Xenophon's life. And it's clearly someone else. It's called A Constitution of the Spartans. And that, too, is a moralizing tract, which talks a great deal about the decline in population and morality of Sparta as a result of the Peloponnesian War. And in many ways, the themes hit by both Plutarch and this anonymous author, who's sometimes known as the pseudo-Xenophon, that is the false Xenophon. Pseudos is lie in Greek, and that's so it's a pseudonym. We mean it's a lying, it's a concealed name, it's not really true. That both of these authors are interested in some of the same questions that Thucydides raises in his history, and that is the demographic and moral impact of war or plague or the hardships suffered in war. This has led to a number of conclusions about Spartan society, and it's premised also on that inherited image, which goes back to George Grote, that Sparta was an undeveloped economy, or in many ways was a regressive, oppressive, even in some cases, in the most recent literature, totalitarian society. And I think part of that is because most modern authors write with a favorable attitude to Athens, if not a prejudice to Athens, and they're suffering from what two scholars, Shivelbush and Chase, say in their book on Culture of Defeat, that in defeat, Athens becomes the glorious lost cause. And the obvious analogy from that rather intriguing work on Culture of Defeat would be, say, the American South, where the Southern Confederacy becomes the glorious lost cause. Yes, we were defeated, and yet in many ways we were nobler than the victors. And the victors themselves were done in by their own victory. And this sort of image has been applied to the Spartan victory in the Peloponnesian War, in addition to other types of prejudices and inherited images. And what we get is, in most textbooks, the notion that the Peloponnesian War did in the Spartan economy, in the Spartan society, that it led to a complete breakdown of morality and traditions that had been the strength of Sparta, and above all, it had led to an alarming decline in the Spartan citizen population. Well, let's take a look at the second issue first, that is the decline in citizen body. There's very little good evidence for this, and our statistics are extremely difficult to make sense of. We have some information on the size of Spartan armies from 480 BC down to 371 BC, and turning this into anything like a census record is really very chancy. Clearly, some Spartan citizens lost their status because they were unable to participate in the messes, the Syssition, the Lycurgan program. There are, however, reports of other people who were made new citizens, neodames, that were elevated, inducted into the Spartan citizen body. These were most likely perioiki. Helots, too, were given their freedom. And in this instance, I'm of the opinion that when this happened, these helots were classified as perioiki, not as citizens, as some have argued that they were made citizens. Perhaps one of the most important figures that's used in this decline is that in 425 BC, the Athenians capture 292 Lacedaemonians. That is the survivors of a regiment, a mora, on the island of Sphacteria off Pylos. The unit was originally, I think, about 420, and these are the men that surrendered. 120 of them of the citizen body, and the rest were perioiki. The Spartans are told by the Athenians that if the Peloponnesian army invades Attica, these men would be executed. And the Spartans dare not invade Attica until the peace is negotiated in 421 BC. Well, it's often said that the Spartans could not afford to lose those 120 citizens. But then it's often missed that neither would any other city-state take that risk. In 431 BC, a force of 300 Thebans attempted what would be called a coup de main, and a blow of the hand, to seize control of Plataea before the war had been officially declared. Well, it had been declared at least before operations opened. This unit sneaked into the city of Plataea, tried to take the city. The Plataeans rallied and captured 180 of the Thebans. And they, too, threatened to execute those men. They eventually did so. And the Thebans retired and did not plunder the fields of Plataea because they couldn't afford to lose those citizens. Repeatedly in Thucydides, in the treaty arrangements, the Athenians are concerned about their prisoners.